Hello and welcome to episode 173 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where this week we're all cosplaying as dragons. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cam.
And in this episode, we're pleased to welcome cosplayer, artist, and recent and repeated DragonCon attendee, Ashley Kaylee. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, thanks for having me on, guys.
Do hope I got all your professional credentials in there. If you want to add more, now's the time.
No, I think we're good.
Cool. Awesome. Ashley's going to share her insights with us on DragonCon, a con we've all wanted to attend for some time, as well as her insights into proper con etiquette when it comes to interacting with cosplayers and other human beings when at large conventions.
Basically, common sense.
Yeah. One would think. But before we get into tonight's episode, I will remind our listeners that it's only common sense that you check us out on iTunes. You don't have to wait for us to do our numerous con panels. You can listen to us week after week. And we, of course, demand tribute and accolades every week. Or just reviews and stars, whatever you feel like giving us. Now that we have welcomed our guest and plugged our show, I think we can kick things off, guys, in our usual fashion with our weekly, geekly, geekly, weekly update. Ashley, we're going to have Cam and Chris go first to kind of show you how we do it. Not that you don't already know, because we know you're an avid listener.
All right, sounds good.
And then we'll let you go after Chris. So, Cam, kick it off, man.
Can you have Chris go first? Because I'm woefully unprepared as right now.
The professionalism astounds. Chris, go ahead.
Well, some of us have a list already. Reading it's another matter. Okay, well, I discovered actually that while we may not have those hoverboards we were promised in Back to the Future, someone is trying to promote something called a mini Segway. Has anyone heard of this?
No.
Okay, it looks basically like, imagine that the hoverboard got together with like the wheels of a Segway on each side. It's like a little sideways skateboard, I guess you could say. And that's it. There's no handle, nothing. You just get on it with the wheels on each foot and then just kind of go back and forth, and there you go.
It really sounds like someone doesn't know how to use a skateboard.
Probably me. When it comes to skateboards, I have three left feet.
So skateboards for people who don't have balance.
Yeah, except you still have to balance on this because it still kind of reads the tilt. So I'm still going to probably just end up hurting myself more than anything. But moving on, I haven't yet seen it, but I did get the rental for Bruce Timm's latest thing, which is Justice League, Gods and Monsters, which is sort of an Elseworlds take on the Justice League with Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, where Batman in this universe is actually the Man Bat, so he's kind of like a vampire Batman. Superman grew up in Mexico instead, so he's not really wanting to work with the U.S. government like he does.
Superman the Brown Sun.
And that actually, he's, for people who aren't comic book geeks, he's actually referencing probably the Red Sun, which was the one where they did Superman is growing up in Russia, communist Russia as compared to Kansas.
Oh. I feel our guests should earn the joke, Chris. You killjoy.
I guess.
Chris, let me ask you something. Superman, is he fighting like an evil President Trump or something in this universe?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'll let you know. But it's a little darker.
That's a political reference, you know, because Donald Trump doesn't like people from Mexico. I don't know if you...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But where was I? Basically, you know, I want to take a look at it. I've always liked the Elseworlds. Those are the DC stories that always kind of got me. Not the main character, but the character with a different twist. So I'm looking forward to it. I also tried to watch, actually, a new Netflix show, Avengers Confidential, which was a animated version of Black Widow with the Punisher. Even though I liked the anime style and it was a little more mature, I don't know. At some point, it was just like the Punisher sounded like a broken record, and I just couldn't keep up with the story. I also have been watching the second season of Knights of Cydonia, which is a Netflix big robot anime, and it's been highly entertaining. I've enjoyed it. I don't remember if I gave a review for the first season or not, but I liked it. And I definitely think with Netflix and its original content, you know, and its partnerships like doing Daredevil and, you know, the upcoming Jessica Jones series in November, I think that they definitely are getting their feet underneath them. And of course, we've already, you know, people already know about House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. But as far as genre television goes, I think they're getting it in the bag pretty much. Also, to get really geeky, I picked up a role-playing game called The Cipher System. Basically, it comes from a company where they've used the same system to describe two really crazy sort of worlds, and then this is just the system so you can use it as a generic game going on to do your own thing. The two RPGs are Numera, which is basically a very far, far future Earth where nothing is recognizable, and there's always something crazy or wonderful just around the corner. And their other game is called The Strange, where basically the universe is a version of the internet. And Earth is just basically one big computer node. And if you know how to access this quantum reality, you can actually find pocket dimensions that are inspired or created out of the will of people. So if you're a really big Star Wars fan and you know how to access the strange of the universe, you can find your own pocket dimension of Star Wars, where the extended universe still exists.
Ooh, I like that.
Cam, are you all sorted out over there, or you want me to pass the baton?
No, I'm ready.
I probably should have said conk. This is the relay race.
I'm still working on my board game. I am hoping to get it published here soon. I'm going to be heading up to Metatopia in the next couple months, which is a reverse sort of con up in New Jersey where game makers go up and actually have booths and, you know, basically they're the ones that are there on display for the game makers, which is, you know, sort of reverse like a Gen Con. The, you know, patrons go and, you know, all the board game companies are there. So that's exciting. Hopefully, good things will come, with regard to that. I actually also signed on with the actual organizers and creators of Metatopia for their Envoy program, which is basically a program around the country that puts together people that are, you know, big gamers. And actually, basically, I just get free games, and all I have to do is go to game stores and play them with people. So that's cool. So I'm looking forward to all the cool new games I'll be getting in the mail. And speaking of games, at the Adventure Game Store, our illustrious sponsor, I demoed a really cool game called Don't Turn Your Back from Evil Hat Productions at one of our weekly game nights. I think it was last Thursday. I demoed that game with some people, and it was awesome. It's like this crazy, it's called The City of Slumber, and it's like just like a mad city where everyone's crazy, and you're sort of like, you don't know if you're in a dream or you're in a nightmare, and you have to take certain actions. It's sort of like worker placement and deck building at the same time, and you're basically trying to survive the city and survive the other players, and it's a lot of backstabbing and betrayal and stuff like that. So it was right up my alley. I like the art. I like the gameplay. It's really cool. I suggest at least trying it, if not picking it up. It's something that I'm going to add to my collection for sure. And other than that, I just enjoyed the Labor Day holiday. Got together with some friends on Monday, had a barbecue, played some game, DC deck building, my favorite. And that's about it. Just enjoyed the holiday weekend and, you know, spent time with family and friends.
Sounds like a full week, man. If I didn't know any better, I'd swear you like tabletop gaming, but...
it's sort of okay.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. So, Ashley, you've had to... perfect examples of how to do the weekly geekly weekly update. Would you like to go next?
Sure. Let's see. Last week for me has been very, very busy. As of a week ago tonight, I was packing up all of my costumes to get ready to leave at 6 in the morning to head to Dragon Con. Since then, I've had very little sleep, very little food, and a whole lot of walking around being overly hot and tired. But I got a lot of photo shoots in, got to see a lot of friends, old and new, and had a pretty good time overall. And now I'm home, get to do a little bit of recovering, and finally get back to playing Dragon Age Inquisition.
Nice.
Very nice. That's,
we've heard that story before.
We actually had a guest on last week who was, I believe, playing that same game, was it not?
Yep.
Yeah. So you like it? You're into it?
Oh, I love Inquisition so far. It kind of harkens back to the feeling of the first Dragon Age game. Cool. So it's nice to return to that.
Like Dragon Con, Dragon Age is a series I've wanted to visit but have not gotten around to it. regrettably.
That is regrettable. Nobody does games like BioWare. I would highly suggest getting into it. But do start at the beginning. Don't jump in at Inquisition, because you're going to miss a lot of backstory and a lot of characters that are really important to the development of the story.
Origins was the first game, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, all right. The, because it has the subtitle Origins, I was like, well, there must have been another Dragon Age. No, okay, that was the first one. Good to know. I'll add that to my lengthy game queue. And, well, I was going to ask you about why it was so hot at Dragon Con, but we'll save that for the main topic, since we're going to badger you with a million questions anyway.
All right.
And that brings it around to Brian.
I'm a little disappointed. No one's mentioned Force Friday.
Well, I didn't go. I didn't want to be a poser.
Yeah, I was at a convention, so I missed it.
You have an excuse. These three, I don't know.
Wait, what's the Force? What are you talking about?
Force Friday, all the new toys, clothes, school supplies, all the new and exciting stuff for everything but the new movie, it looks like. There weren't really a lot of spoilers or anything like that, so I was really excited about it. I got into it, and I actually went up Thursday night at like 11:30 and got in line, and probably, I'd say like 50 people ahead of us. It was really fun.
Was this at the Disney store, or where were they?
I did Target.
Okay.
Disney stores, I think, are usually in malls, so they have a harder time opening in the middle of the night. But Targets, I think Walmarts were open middle of the night.
Toys R Us, too.
Toys R Us, definitely.
Nice.
And then it was just kind of all day long. I actually continued my geeky Force Friday excursion. I drove up to Orlando to, what do they call it nowadays? Hollywood Studios?
Oh, Disney's Hollywood. Yes.
Yep, yeah. Hollywood Studios. Yep.
The place with Star Tours. And I was actually a little surprised. They really didn't do anything there. I guess this was like purely a retail event. So I probably could have skipped that part of my weekend, but, found out a little too late. And lastly, speaking of being disappointed in my fellow geeks, have you guys ever seen Geeks Who Drink?
I've not.
So I have, but I think this is something else you're talking about.
It's pretty neat. It's a trivia show. You know how like you go to a bar and they always have those little trivia things where you can win like, a bar tab or something like that. It's a television show made out of that. I think his name's Zachary Taylor. He's the guy who played Chuck, is the host, and they have like rotating geeky guests as team leaders. And then, whoever wins on their team gets like a bunch of stuff. Like they'll just have two guys from the audience come in, and if Felicia Day was one of them, if Felicia's Day team wins, like those two people get some stuff. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of geeky guests. And at first I was really impressed, because so often people say, oh, well, Star Trek and Star Wars is geek, but Game of Thrones isn't. Horror fans aren't. There's all the segmenting. And the show was really good about including everything. They did a lot of, like, really geeky horror stuff, like one of their questions was to put the Scream Queen with the villain of their show, and they had like 10 different options, and it was really well done. And I was just thinking about like, wow, I'm so proud, they're so inclusive. I like more of that in geekdom. And Cam knows this, I've been complaining about it all week. I was really big on the show until they got to a question. And it just kind of blew my mind. So I'm going to ask the question now, if no one minds. Take the number of stars on Captain America's shield, add the number of stars on the current U.S. flag, and add the number of stars in our solar system. You have 15 seconds to discuss it on your team. There's three geeks on your team. Not one team got it right.
Wow. What threw them?
The number of stars in our solar system.
Their answers, no.
Their answers were all like 2,051,000,051.
Oh, that's sad.
I've been complaining about it for at least 72 hours.
I'll vouch for that. He has.
More than one star.
Science class failed them.
But like yes. Second grade science class. That's not even like high school. I mean.
Oh man, more than one star in our solar system is a big problem. Like we.
What, like 2,000,000,000 stars in our solar system?
That's an impossible problem.
Oh.
Oh no. Wow. How? Oh. Yeah, science class fail is the answer there. Like you were literally asleep in like Earth space science class or whatever they called it back in the day.
I was playing along, and as soon as they asked it, I was doing the math in my head, and they were like, okay, 15 seconds go, and I was like, 52. And everyone in the room with me was like, how do you know that? And I was like, I guess I'm a geek and you're not. Like, I mean, you know, I'm not. But then the six geeks also totally blew it, and I've never felt more alone in the universe.
Oh, I want to see the solar system displays these children were making.
Right. I ran out of styrofoam balls to make the solar system because I couldn't get 2,000,000,000 of them. Do I fail? Yeah, you fail. You fail, all right.
Get used to disappointment.
Oh, God. Wow. Wow, Brian, that's depressing.
And I'm sure I've done things since then, but I don't remember any of them because all I've done is complain about that.
For good reason. I'll end your update on a good note unless you have something else.
It's up to you.
Okay. I'll say this. You may have been disappointed at the Star Wars offerings at Hollywood Studios now, but I believe there is some pretty good stuff in the offing for that park. They're going to be doing a lot of Star Wars-y stuff there pretty soon. So maybe next year after, whenever they get it done.
And to say disappointed, it's not fair, really, because I was just shocked they didn't do more for that one day. I still love the land. Like, all the Star Wars stuff there is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. Ashley, you a Disney person?
I actually work at Disney.
What? Wow, we won't ask you to confirm or deny, but tell us what they're doing.
Well, there's definitely going to be a large expansion, but there's not much more that I can say about it.
Oh, cryptic.
Did I not read the bio on the guest, or did I? Tom feels like a giant idiot at the moment, but pressing on. I guess I'll commence with my update unless you have anything else, Brian.
Nope.
Cool. I also took advantage of Force Friday. I went to Denny's, where, to my great surprise, I was able to have some Jar Jar Blintzes and a glass of blue milk. And none of those things happened. I wasn't able to do that. But that would have been kind of cool in retrospect.
I miss my Hobbit sad breakfasts.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they do that? Was that for the third Hobbit movie?
That was for all the movies.
Did they have one called, like, The Desolation of Sausage or something? Boy, that third movie was a stinker. Anyway.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, on to my real update. I've been playing more Fallout, the 1997 classic that has all of the refinement of a PC game from 1997. It's kind of frustratingly difficult, and of course I can't get enough of it because it's frustratingly difficult. I have embarked on this mad quest to play all the Fallout games because Fallout 4 is coming out, and I feel like I have to play them all. I can't just leap into the new one. Just like Dragon Age, I could never in a million years jump into the latest one. I got to go play them all. It's a terrible disease in that way, I guess. So Fallout, that's great. My dog's dead. I'm not happy about that. And yeah.
That's still Fallout, right?
Yeah, Fallout. Yeah, not my real dog. Yeah, oh, sorry. No, if I had a real dog that died, I would just mention that. Yeah, I'm playing a game. My dog died. No. My Fallout dog named Dog Meat is dead. Not happy about that. And let's see, I pre-ordered a game called Xenoblade Chronicles X Special Edition for the Wii U through GameStop. I have a real problem with impulse buying stuff just based on cool! And that's exactly what happened here. That is a RPG for the Wii U. The Wii U being a system you may have heard of but probably don't own.
That is now being replaced.
That would... It is, I'm not surprised it's correct, and yes, it is being replaced by probably an even more obscure system from Nintendo. And rounding out my update, In wrestling news, because I am a fan of the World Wrestling Entertainment product, there was a little unofficial genre crossover when one of my favorite wrestlers from one of my favorite stables, this guy named Xavier Woods, the stable is named The New Day, in case anybody wants to look it up. He taunts his opponents on the side while his brethren are wrestling. He will parade back and forth with a trombone from time to time and taunt them with songs. Well, he played the fanfare from Final Fantasy. And yeah, that was like the highlight of wrestling for the year for me. So wrestling, get into it, because some wrestlers are cool. That's it for my update. And I want to apologize again for failing to prepare for the show. You work at Disney? Can you tell us what you do?
I'm a video editor and artist.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Very cool.
So I actually work at Hollywood Studios.
What?
Oh man, I would have dropped by.
wait, there's like studio stuff that goes on at Hollywood Studios or?
Some.
That's cool. I'm legitimately asking that question now because I understood at some point they had a big operation there and then they kind of just got rid of it, but it adds authenticity to the place to know that there's stuff going on.
Yep. There's still some stuff going on.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm jealous. I don't work at Disney. But anyway, I think we had a show to get to. And I'm sure my co-hosts are happy that I put my foot in my mouth first so they didn't have to. That said, before we get to our show, we have one more segment to get through, which is technically part of the show. That being the news extravaganza, wherein we talk about news. And Ashley, I will invite you to either contribute to this segment or do what I do, which is and comment. Your choice. Let's have Cam, are you ready to go first this time?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's have Cam lead off with some news.
All right, let's see. I got a bundle of news today. Speaking of studios and movies, the Labor Department, one of the great agencies of our government, is, you know, a bastion, an institute, you know, an institution. It's this, you know, holier than thou, government agency. And, but it turns out that a guy that worked in the mailroom there for about 30 years is one of the biggest movie pirates, like, in history. The guy was working in the mailroom and he used the Department of Labor's, 5-bay DVD duplicator and churned out, like, hundreds of thousands of discs over the years of pirated movies and was selling them for, like, $4 or $5 each, either on eBay or on, whatever, on the internet, or, I don't know, maybe he, like, laid out a towel or something, like, on the street. So that's our, like, government dollars at work. Selling pirated DVDs.
He's an entrepreneur, man. He's an entrepreneur.
Yeah, he's just trying to make a few extra bucks.
I really like the image of the laid out towel so he can bug out when the authorities come by. Exactly. Like, I'm going to see here.
Cops are coming. Let's leg it. No. So he did that. He pled guilty. He's been fired, obviously. He's going to jail. But, I mean, you know. So take those FBI warnings at the beginning of the movies very seriously. Let's see. Speaking of government agencies, NASA has contracted with ARXPAX. You may remember them as the makers of the actual hoverboard, which is coming out very soon, actually. The actual, like, real hoverboard from Back to the Future. This company has created one and made one, which you can own for, like, $10,000. They have contracted with NASA, and they are going to make a real-life tractor beam, which NASA will use to realign wayward satellites or move them into, you know, different orbits or however they need to manipulate them, which I thought was pretty awesome. So watch out for tractor beams in the near future. I think tractor beams and drones are going to sort of spell the end for life as we know it. Mm-hmm. Vending machines. I love vending machines, speaking of other invasive machines and technology. I'm always amazed when I go to the airport or where I'm, you know, wherever I'm at and I see, like, you know, vending machines that can sell you, like, a condo or whatever you need, you know. Apparently now there's going to be a vending machine that can prepare you freshly cooked French fries. So if you've got a hankering for French fries and you're at the mall, like, buying shoes or something, you can just, you know, pop on over to the vending machine and pick up some fries. No indication as to how condiments will be dispensed, but I'm sure they'll figure out a good way. I am an iPhone user, so I don't have to worry about this, but for Android users, make sure you be careful what kind of apps you are downloading, because there is some malware out there that is called the Adult Player. It sort of disguises itself as an innocuous app download and asks you for, you know, sort of innocuous permissions. And then all of a sudden, it's taken a picture of you with your front-facing camera, and it puts a mugshot, basically a picture of your face up on your screen, and says, you need to transfer us $500 via PayPal, or you're going to never use your phone again, and we are going to transmit your face and your user history to all the people on your contact list. So be careful what you're downloading, because you may get cyber bullied or cyber extorted. Actually, the good news for that, though, is it's not really terribly hard to fix. You just got to reboot your device in safe mode, and you can sort of get rid of it. But if you aren't tech savvy, it can really scare the shit out of you, I would imagine. And last but not least, and I should have done this with the NASA story, but they had some, I guess 3 years ago, they sent up whiskey to the International Space Station just to see what would happen, I guess. A couple months ago, they brought it back, and they had someone taste it, and apparently identical whiskey, like I guess they had identical samples, one that was distilled here in, you know, on Earth, and one sample that was distilled on the ISS space station. And apparently the taste is dramatically different when you distill or ferment whiskey in space as opposed to on Earth. I don't drink anymore, so I don't know which is better, but I kind of would have liked to have had that job tasting the whiskey when it came back. And I think that does it for my news.
That's pretty interesting.
Feel free to comment.
I think I'm going to apply to NASA. Tractor beams and
whiskey. Hoverboards and whiskey.
Yeah, this is kind of a nice career path. And I'll also say that if I was going to make a piece of malware or software of any kind, I don't think I'd name it after somebody's Ashley Madison handle, Adult Player.
That was Chris's nickname in high school.
Yes.
The adult player.
I'm 18. Technically, it
belongs. Just look at my fake ID. It's not fake.
No, forget NASA. I want to go work at the Department of Labor and just do nothing but make DVDs all day and sell them.
I just can't. Who buys a DVD? Even if it is a towel vendor for like $2, I don't want to lug DVDs around. Can you give me some illicit streaming or something?
I would think that these days the demographic is really slight, you know, really thin. But I mean, I could say maybe 5-10 years ago. But a lot of people are buying bootleg DVDs, especially movies that had like just come out.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. All right. That makes a lot of sense in the modern day. It just seems
before the BitTorrent. Yeah. Before BitTorrent and all that stuff.
Right. Before they became a virtual person with like a towel. Right.
Right.
All right, Cam. That was a great bit of news. Anybody else want to comment before we move over to reporter Chris? All right, Chris, you're back from the field. What did you discover?
Well, I discovered that Boeing is going into the future. They have announced with NASA, funny enough, we mentioned them, the CST-100 Starliner craft, which is basically going to replace what the shuttle used to do. It's focused on animated flight, reliable operation, carrying NASA astronauts to the space station, and even maybe putting paying customers in there to check out the sites at low Earth orbit.
Hmm.
So basically they're going after, we've done everything we've done with this, what was it, the SpaceX program?
SpaceX is the one owned by Elon Musk, right?
Virgin?
Yeah. So after they've done all the heavy lifting, Boeing's coming in and trying to get in on that market.
Which, scrappy upstart Boeing. Let's hope they do well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you guys had your chance. Now all of a sudden you want in on it? Ugh.
It's the American way, man. It's the American way. Step in and take over.
Everybody wants to be the second person in line, right?
Oh, yeah.
For me, with a name like that, the Starliner, I feel like I'm in the brave year of 1997.
Yeah?
As it's announced that we now have sustained regular relations with the Martians, as the synthesizer soundtrack just starts to kind of crescendo in the background, you know?
Really? You think the name Starliner is just that evocative of those things for you? It just,
yes.
You're not digging it?
Oh, it does sound a little retro.
Oh, really? Retro, huh? Sounds classy to me, like I'm sipping a drink, you know, cruising at high, you know, low Earth orbit or whatever they call it, and taking in the sights.
What do you think, Brian?
I'm on the fence. I definitely see the retro, but I, like I said, I'm old. I kind of like it.
Ever since I saw, what was it, 2001, where the guy is on a commercial flight in space, and there's like a pen or something floating through the cabin of the airplane. that's how I have like always, being an astronaut would be cool, but flying on a commercial flight in space, that's when you know we've arrived.
Even cooler. That's actually it for my news. I figured that pretty much, I couldn't top anything after that one.
We're all about now. What is this NASA company? I'm going to have to see if I can apply there. Where are they based? So Ashley, do you want to contribute to news or ooh and ah along with me? Your choice. You can do both.
I think we'll probably move along.
All right, Brian, ride out the news, man.
Speaking of Disney, speaking of NASA, speaking of where they're all at, Orlando, one of my like top five cities, is apparently solidifying, and as we called it, itself as a geek mecca. Think Geek has announced they are going to be opening their first brick and mortar store there.
Have they indicated like where, or is it just they just said they're going to open it there?
I think they just said Orlando. I don't know.
Hollywood Studios, I think.
Well, it can be convenient for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a thing for crowds. That's one of the reasons why I didn't do Force Friday. I mean, you heard me, Brian. You were like, are you doing Force Friday? I'm like, are you going? Yeah, I'm going. Good. Go for me then. But the Think Geek store would tempt me to be there opening day. I just love that website. So much stuff of the right kind of stuff.
Road trip, man.
Tempting.
And secondly, nothing whatsoever to do with NASA, I'm sure. This comes as heartbreaking and just utterly shocking news. Apparently, none of the women on Ashley Madison were actually women.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just blown away by that. Like, I can't believe that's true.
But you knew that. In your heart of hearts, you knew there were no women on Ashley Madison. You knew it was all men.
I'm always surprised when, like, you know, Kim Kardashian wore red today makes the news. And then shit like this makes the news. And I'm just like, what? Kim Kardashian didn't wear red today or something? Like,
evidently it was so bad that at least 69 of those robots were talking to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Not at all shocked to learn that.
And, I would have bet money.
You'd have bet money that there were more than, you know, 1,000 out of 7 million users that were women, or?
No, I would probably have gone less. Yeah, like two.
Yeah, two, and they're the owner and the co-owner of the website, right?
One thing that fascinated me is, like, the number one way they constructed those fake women was to repurpose fraudulent accounts they already had in the system. Like, someone would make a fraudulent account as a phishing scam, and then they would just take that profile and then just repurpose it for their own purposes.
Oh.
I found that oddly fascinating and just kind of like, hey, you know, it's there. Let's not let anything go to waste. Why spend time having someone else try to figure out how to procedurally generate fake accounts or hire somebody to do it? We'll just, no honor among thieves, right?
Yeah, that's efficient, I suppose. All right, Ashley Madison. I'm still going to sign up. not all the fakers.
Just in case, man, just in case.
Yeah. Oh, well, shocking news. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. That rounds out the news, unless anybody else has anything else. So, by the way, as we're beating up Ashley Madison, it occurred to me that our guest name is Ashley, and I'm sorry if there's any association there.
None whatsoever.
Okay, right. I sincerely doubt you're one of the 10 women ever to visit that URL.
Nope.
That was going to be my cosplay name, but it was taken.
By the way, funniest joke meme thing ever was somebody was like, man, I hope my Dolly Madison profile doesn't get leaked. Right? They make snack cakes. No. All right, I thought it was funny. But news aside, Ashley, let's get on to DragonCon and any other things you might want to discuss. We are fascinated by this convention. It's not unreasonably far. There's no reason we haven't gone, except that we haven't gone. We just haven't gotten around to it. So
it's only been like 20 years.
Yeah.
You got time. Plenty of time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that optimistic appraisal. So you've gone, you said, three times to before the show, and give us some insight. What's awesome about it?
DragonCon is just different than the other conventions I attend here in Florida because it's a whole lot of people coming from far away to meet in one place and to be in costume and on the floor for hours and hours on end. If you attend MegaCon or MetroCon or other conventions here in Florida, you'll be familiar with the kind of time layout. The vendor area tends to open at about 10 o'clock in the morning and close at 6. And then there might be some late night things, but there's usually a bit of lapse in time between the vendor hall closing and the night parties starting. The different thing about DragonCon is there's really no stopping point. If you wanted to be awake from 6 in the morning to 6 in the morning still doing stuff, you can. There are panels and concerts and parties that go all throughout the night and day.
That's kind of awesome sounding, actually. Wow.
Yeah, it's just a different spirit to a convention. It's more of a hanging out kind of convention.
I like the way that sounds. More
sounds
than...
like another excuse to get me cloned.
Yeah, I think you may go there with a specific purpose in mind, Ashley, but do you find that it's one of those places where there's just so much to do, you can't possibly do everything, no matter if you go every day or not?
Oh, absolutely. Every year that I've gone, I had kind of a different purpose in mind. This year, my focus was getting to do photo shoots. And getting together with other people who are wearing the same costume or being part of the same genre. So by doing that, it meant I got to go to almost no panels because the panels there you need to be in line for quite a bit in advance. And all the good ones kind of overlap each other. So you really have to pick your priority if you want to hang out with people or do photos or go to panels.
So some planning, some forethought is required to extract exactly what you want from the convention.
Absolutely. And you can have a different goal for each day. Say one day you want to go around the celebrity area, get autographs, meet different people from shows. Another day you want to do panels and another day you want to do photos. It's all where your priorities lie. But overall, it's a great convention because it also caters to so many different fandoms. If you like a show or a game or a cartoon, there are people cosplaying it and probably people who have been a part of that show or game or cartoon that you can meet there.
That's pretty incredible, actually. The attendance obviously justifies this sort of breadth of content. It's pretty massive in terms of the number of people that go too, right?
The reports I was seeing for attendance this year were at 70,000.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Wow. That's massive.
It really is.
Would you happen to know, and I'm not that you would, but do you or anybody on the show, does anybody know how that compares to, say, San Diego or one of the larger conventions out there? I have to say it's as big as, if not bigger.
I mean, it's definitely close. It might not be quite as big, but it's, what did we say, Brian? I think New York was at like 80 or 90 something. Is that right? Or am I just making that up?
I think it was closer to 80.
Okay.
Because I've kind of been anxiously awaiting the 100,000 attendance day, and I haven't seen that yet. We haven't been too close yet.
I definitely remember seeing an article that New York Comic Con had taken over, I guess, the top spot in attendance from San Diego. But I don't remember the actual numbers.
But suffice it to say that Dragon Con is in the top handful of conventions. It's,
oh, absolutely. It's sure. Top five, yeah, for sure.
It's a big deal. So Ashley, if our crew rolled up there, and of course I was interested in, you know, the brony scene, and let's say, you know, we all had our varied interests, let's say, and we wanted to devote
the super
time.
Hulock.
Super Hulock. Yeah, that too.
Yes. anything we were looking for, we could pretty much find, right? We could each have our moments, so to speak.
The furries would find me.
You're definitely gonna find cosplayers from anything and everything, down to cosplayers who devote themselves to wearing the patterns of the carpet of the Marriott all weekend.
That guy.
That's incredible.
The carpet is quite famous. Unfortunately, it is going away. Too many years of DragonCon sweat and drinks and food have ended its sad life, but
they've taken their toll, huh?
There are Facebook groups in connection with DragonCon where people will start to get together groups for photos or for hanging out. So you can find everything pretty easily.
Awesome. So Ashley, do you typically attend conventions in general, DragonCon in particular, in a cosplay capacity or go as sort of a general fan, both?
I'm not really sure how to go as a general fan anymore. I kind of got addicted to attending conventions and cosplay, and the idea of going in civvies is kind of abhorrent at this point. It's really pretty bad. By Sunday night, I had started to disassemble my cosplay. I was being Morrigan from Dragon Age. And the thought that nobody's going to want to take photos or recognize who you're being anymore is a little bit sad. So it's, yeah, once you get into cosplay and you get used to going to conventions in cosplays, you kind of can't stop yourself.
It's a lot to do with people appreciating your effort, basically.
Yeah, it's really an art form. One that you spend a lot of time and money and effort to produce, and then you finally get to the convention and you definitely suffer for wearing it, but it is a way to show your love for a character or a fandom, and also to show off your creative abilities.
Awesome. Art is suffering.
Do you have a background that's conducive to crafting of costumes and so on?
Yes, I do. I started sewing when I was 11. Started making my first costumes when I was about 15, and then I majored in theater. So I spent a lot of time doing stage makeup and making costumes for productions.
Oh, wow.
So none of this is really that foreign to me. I really like picking costumes that are going to be technically difficult to produce, but highly recognizable. That's kind of the niche that I aim for.
And do you undertake these endeavors for just a sense of accomplishment, or are you competitive as well?
I have not been competing up to this point. I have a couple of costumes now that I feel that I'm ready to take into the contest. So hopefully within the next few months here, I'll start hitting the contest.
Ah,
I think I'm ready.
Cool.
But yeah, it's mostly for the enjoyment of bringing a character to life.
Awesome. And, you know, I've been badgering you with questions, but it's because I'm intensely curious about cosplay and this convention in particular. We've had the good fortune to have a few cosplayers on during our run. And yeah, I'm continuously impressed. I don't think I would ever have the, what's the word I'm looking for? Confidence to actually walk around in a costume. Like, I don't know. How to say that. I'm not trying to make it sound like I have a insecurity issue or something, but I don't think I could pull off the character, you know what I mean, all day in the heat with all the people. And that's even without considering the fact that I have zero craftsmanship skills. So is it considered like a faux pas to wear a costume somebody else made, or do you have to like acknowledge that every time someone takes a photo? Because I would feel like I would need to.
There's a couple of schools of thought on that. When people come up to take pictures of you, if they're really impressed by what you wear, yes, they will usually ask, did you make that yourself? At which point you will have to either admit or deny where the costume came from. But other than that, if you're not in a competition or something like that, most people don't really care. They're just happy to see you having a fun time and showing your love for a character.
Very cool.
I would recommend trying it. It really can be a fun experience. It's a little like being a limited time celebrity. you know, you get to have your very normal life where you go to the grocery store and go to work. And then on a couple of days a year, you put on a costume and hit the floor and everyone wants your picture. You can feel pretty important, but then as soon as you take the costume off, you get to be a normal person again. No tabloids.
Guys, we can relate with our numerous forays into convention panels. There's nothing like the celebrity that you feel when you're a highlight at a convention, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Maximus.
The throngs of followers and fans following us everywhere.
Seven people at our panel. I'll never forget.
Let's not be humble here. We've had up to tens of people sitting in our panels.
I've had to wear a mask of my face just so people wouldn't recognize me.
In fairness, at SuperCon, we had, what, 60, 70 people, I would say. That was pretty decent.
Oh, it's pretty impressive.
I mean, they thought they were there for, like, Dragon Ball panel instead, but it's all right. We took it.
You commandeered them?
Yeah. We switched the signs on the outside.
I'm trying to decide if the four of us in cosplay would add to or detract from our panels. Like, we might be a spectacle. Like, you have to see these guys.
Hey, it sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, so you feel like crafting some
yeah, <right. laughs>
four costumes for us?
Like six.
Good point, Brian, actually. In terms of fabric, we're looking at 6 to 6.5 costumes. Oh, Brian, your candor's appreciated.
I'll take the black burlap bag.
That's your costume?
Well, she's making one for me. I'll settle for a burlap bag. I'll be fine.
No, wait. I call Oogie Boogie from Nightmare. So
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, you have to.
We're gonna go burlap. We might as well go Oogie Boogie.
That. I think I could probably pull off shockingly well. But moving on. Do you guys have any questions? I feel like I've been totally just going off with a million questions.
What's this parade? I saw a bunch of my friends posting on Facebook about the parade. What is that? And did you participate in that?
I did participate in it. This was my first year participating in the parade. So I was marching with the N7 Elite, which for anyone who's not familiar, is the Mass Effect costuming group.
Oh, sweet. All right.
So, the parade is a fantastic event. I'm so happy that I was a part of it this year. We get together in little, parking lots and street corners to start to organize into our groups. It's a lot of standing around outside in the sun in costumes and prosthetics as we wait for everything to get organized. But once the parade starts going, you kind of forget about how uncomfortable you are. There's people all over the street filling up the sides, families, kids, parents, everybody, and they're taking photos, and you can go past and give them a high five, say hi, stop for a photo. It's really pretty amazing to see firsthand normal people's response to all of the geeks on parade. I really liked it. It was a lot of fun. I guess there were 70 to 75,000 people who came to watch the parade.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching because there is a section for pretty much any kind of fandom. There are the Halo people, the Star Wars people, Game of Thrones, different random cartoons, Ghostbusters.
Hmm.
It's a really good way to get to see a bit of every fandom all at once. And well organized, too.
I'm assuming it's organized by the Dragon Con organizers, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, and then is it like do they designate, okay, like these different fandoms like line up here, line up there? Or is that just sort of something the attendees sort of take upon themselves? And is it something like you have to sign up for or you just show up and...
You sign up beforehand to get to be part of the parade, but then you need to organize yourself into whatever category you're going to be in. So with the N7 Elite, we were part of the gaming section. So then we had our own spot within the gaming section where we were organized and put.
Gotcha. So
Yeah, it's really pretty fun. If you go this next year, I would recommend going and watching the parade. It means getting up early after what has possibly been a very late night and sitting out in the heat, but it's worth seeing.
Sounds like a huge organizational undertaking. I mean, that sounds, you know, whoever's putting that together must have their hands full.
Oh, I believe it. It's a lot of people who participate in the parade, but it makes for a really good show.
Awesome.
That's something cool. I've always been kind of impressed about of Dragon Con is this parade. Like, it's not like people walking down a sidewalk. They shut down city streets for this, correct?
Oh, correct. They shut down the whole road for it so that we have plenty of space to walk. And I think the parade itself, the route was at least a mile. So it's a pretty long walk in the heat and for my character in high heels. But, yeah, it's, the city definitely really enjoys the parade. It's something that the Atlanta area looks forward to and definitely participates in.
I've always felt conventions were probably good for cities. I'm so happy that they kind of embrace it because 80,000 people, you say? That's probably a lot of money coming into a town over a weekend.
Mm. And Dragon Con runs a little bit differently from other conventions that you might be used to. Like, if you're going to MegaCon, then you're going to be at Orange County Convention Center. And you'll be there pretty much all day. But the deal with Dragon Con is that it's run across a number of different hotels. The main ones being the Marriott, the Hilton, and the Hyatt, with a couple of other ones. So if you want to go and see something, it means you're taking skywalks or walking on the street to get to another hotel. Which means you spend a lot of time in the city itself, in food courts, in different buildings around the convention area. So the people of Atlanta are definitely getting to see this mecca of nerddom the whole weekend long.
Now, do you think that's a function of them just not having a place big enough to hold everything? Or do you think it's done that's by design?
I'm not sure why Dragon Con was necessarily started where it is, because it is strange that it's not in a convention center per se. But it seems to still be working for them. It's a lot of people for those hotels to handle. But I think why it's so successful is because the people who are attending the convention are staying in those hotels, mm-hmm. which is also why it can have this atmosphere of hanging out and why you'll still have cosplayers at 1 a.m. in full costumes, because they can go back to their rooms and take a break, take a nap, get something to eat and drink, and then just walk out their door and be back into the party.
Cool.
You know, I really like the way it sounds like this isn't, as you said, a convention isolated in a convention space. This is just integrated into the city. I think that is unique. I can't think of any other convention quite like that.
This is the only out-of-state convention that I attend, so there could be something like this elsewhere. But I really enjoy it for that unique aspect of being a place where people can hang out and come together, and nobody's in a rush to get back home or hit the road to get to their hotel. They're there, and they're staying there.
Very cool.
What was your, I guess, favorite moment at Dragon Con this year?
My favorite moment at this most recent one was taking part in the parade and getting to take my character out of the normal sphere of influence around other people who are familiar with this and getting to walk amongst people who may never have played Mass Effect before or don't know what I'm from, but they're still going, I like the way that character looks. I like the blue face paint and the outfit. And they're getting to enjoy something that they wouldn't usually see. So for me, the parade this year was the most fun. Last year, I got to meet the guys from the web series The Guild, if you guys are familiar with that at all.
Yeah, of course.
And actually hang out with them over the weekend. They were really chill and fun to go and talk to every day. Talk about nerdy things like playing games with Vince. Or Blades, for those who don't know. Yeah. So, I've really had a good time at Dragon. You can meet some really awesome people there and have some really fun times.
Sounds awesome. What is your favorite character that you've cosplayed?
That's kind of a tough one. Mara Jade is one of my cosplays from the expanded universe of Star Wars that no longer exists.
Brian is shifting in his seat right now, I'm sure.
She's.
It exists until it's contradicted. Unfortunately, exactly. Mara's out. I mean, that's.
Mara's been one of the cosplays I've been doing the longest. Probably my favorite, most recent one would be Astrid from How to Train Your Dragon. Cool. I just really like her personality, and I see a lot of myself in her, so it's fun to be Astrid.
What was your most technically difficult cosplay to create?
Let's see. Morrigan from Dragon Age would definitely be one of my more technical ones. She has the most amount of accessories and little nitpicky bits that I've been working on to continuously make her more accurate to the game. And this convention, I added a character from an anime called Inuyasha.
Mm-hmm.
I was Sesshomaru, which this is only the second anime cosplay I've done. To me, I feel like they're a little bit more difficult to do and done a little bit more often than video game characters. But I decided to tackle it, and Sesshomaru was not an easy one. He has a great big fur boa thing that covers his shoulder, and lots of armor and a sword. It was not a costume that I can move in, which is unusual for me, because almost all of my costumes are pretty flexible, easy to walk in and move around in, but this one was not. I actually had to have a handler and stand in one place all day.
Wow.
How did you pull off that massive fur thing that he has wrapped around him?
I had a friend over, and we figured it out together, but it's a lot of cutting apart of one big piece of faux fur and sewing it together in kind of a random pattern to create a bulk. And then two large bags of fill. So that thing alone weighs almost 5 or 6 pounds.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
But there are people who wear an impressive amount of armor. Some people carrying up to 30-some pounds of weight in armor that are attending these conventions, there are probably some who are caring even more, just to try and bring this character to life as accurately as possible.
Yeah, that's the suffering for your art bit of cosplay. I don't think people who haven't spoken to cosplayers about this as much as we have appreciate just how much goes into it and what a commitment there is to, as you said, bringing the character to life.
If you're not part of this culture, it's easy to go, oh, look, that's an amazing costume. They look awesome. Take a picture and walk away. When in reality, that person may have spent hundreds of hours of beading and sewing and crafting to try and make this costume. And then once they put it on, they're ready to be hot and sweaty all day to not be able to visit the bathroom or get anything to drink or eat, just to finally get to be this character that they've been working so hard on. It's a really high level of commitment, but there are a lot of people who are passionate about this, and that's why we have such a strong cosplay community.
I would say that is the case. And to shift gears slightly, because of course we wouldn't be an episode of Nerd Extravaganza podcasts if we didn't tackle weighty subject matter. Speaking of people who don't kind of get it or maybe appreciate all the effort that goes into it, I'll let Brian take the lead on this one. This is something he kind of wanted to discuss. Brian, I think you understand to what I'm alluding here, right?
I think, Ashley, you said this before, and I think, Tom, you just nailed it. I think this is a either in or out thing. Because I've never really cosplayed, but I've been into conventions even before cosplay was really popular. Like, I kind of saw it grow, and I have felt like I was a part of the scene, even though I may not be making a costume. And it's hard for me to accept that the people that I grew into this with would treat others so poorly just because they might be dressed like Slave Leia or even sexy Slave Leia / Elsa or something like that. I'd like to believe that the people taking handsy pictures or the people making lewd comments or even the people, as we're seeing at this Dragon Con actually assaulting, like luring people away and assaulting them, are the other, quite honestly.
Mm. So in summary, Brian's talking about sort of the cosplay is not consent movement or school of thought, which I always thought kind of went without saying, but we would welcome your views on the miscreants, misbehaving con attendees, wanderers in, and the like who don't seem to understand boundaries.
Yes, this cosplay is not consent movement has been building up speed, especially over the last year. The amount of people who are cosplaying at conventions has certainly been on the rise, and with it has been the amount of people who just don't understand that cosplayers aren't characters. They're real people who have real boundaries. So if you're going to a major convention nowadays, you're going to see the banners that say cosplay is not consent, and there are panels specifically for teaching people this. But unfortunately, that information is going to be people who already know and appreciate that fact, and not the people who are the problem.
So it's a misbehaving minority that are kind of ruining it for the rest of us, so to speak.
It mostly tends to be people who have not been part of this community for very long, or who don't happen to be attending the convention, but are staying in the hotel or building that it's being held in, and are just walking through and going, oh, look, Slave Leia, I need to get a picture with her. And not realizing that that girl might not want to have her your hands on her body. Even if it's just pulling her in close for a photo, it's definitely something that you should ask before you do. Because people have natural boundaries and don't cross that.
Yeah, that's, again, something that I would think would go without saying. But you saying that a lot of the time it's folks who are either newcomers or who just happened to be co-located with a convention makes me wonder if the cosplays not consent movement, signage, etc., is even going to be effective. Like, you have to like put that on billboards in the city at large, it sounds like, to get the message across.
Well, it helps if you're spending time with other people. If you can avoid it, don't leave the convention center alone. I really haven't had much for bad experiences within the convention center because people in this community mostly get it. They're nice, they're polite, they ask before they can take a photo of you. They show their appreciation for what you've created verbally by saying good job or awesome work. But if you can avoid leaving the convention center, you usually do all right. It's when you're out on the street or walking back to a parking garage on your own that you're definitely more liable to be approached by someone in a manner that you're not going to like.
That's awful. So we're getting into that territory where in an ideal society, you should be able to walk down the street attired however you want and not be subjected to unwanted attention, and worse. But, you have to weigh that against pragmatism in the face of people who are just, for lack of a better word. Brian, you're good with words. What are they?
Ignorant.
There you go.
I wonder, actually, going back to Atlanta as this kind of partner in all of this, I do wonder if perhaps cosplay is not consent will lead to a kind of general awareness in a city. Like, look, these people spend a lot of money. We want to support them. Maybe don't drive them away because you're a drunken frat boy who doesn't get it or because you're entitled.
That would require foresight and respect, though, so,
I'm a dreamer, aren't I?
People who aren't accustomed to this, they just see the characters and they want to get close, they want photos, they want to treat them how they feel like they should be able to treat them, whether that aligns with how you actually should treat a person or not. It's the best thing to do as a cosplayer is try to stick around with other people, try not to leave the convention area if you can help it, and also keep track of how you're doing. If you're getting inebriated, definitely be with other people that you trust. Don't go off with anyone that you've just met. It's just...
I hate to think that's the solution, though, because that, yeah. I mean, that's blaming the victim.
And I don't want to blame the victim either, but at this point, Sometimes you have to try and make yourself as safe as possible. And if it just means sticking around with people you know, there's nothing wrong with that, because most of the time you've come to a convention to hang out with your friends. But yeah, unfortunately, there are a lot of people who get into an uncomfortable situation, and it's not their fault.
I really hope we can do better soon, because this growth period with attendance hitting this all-time high and with cosplay being a household word, I love it, but God, I hate to see this downside of it.
Yeah. And hopefully people, as cosplay becomes more and more of a mainstream thing, will come to understand. But like, for my own experience, I don't like having to walk back to the hotel or the parking garage by myself, which I've had to do, because yeah, that's when people tend to get a little weird.
God, that is so sad. You know, I've always thought of conventions and basically broadly, you know, the fandom scene to be kind of a safe haven from a lot of the ills of the mainstream world. And, you know, basically that's not the case. That was probably naive in the first place. And, yeah, it's just disgusting to think that somebody going to enjoy really something they love has to think defensively in order to avoid, unwanted attention, behavior, assault.
It is unfortunate, but overall, my experience with attending conventions has been very positive. Like I said, most people understand, they're appreciative and polite. Most people who are attending conventions are there to appreciate the same characters and fandoms that you're a part of. And that's a really positive thing, and can be a lot of fun to spend time with people who get it, who like the same stuff you do. So I definitely want to encourage people to enjoy conventions, to go to them, to cosplay, but definitely still think about keeping yourself safe. Try not to put yourself in a situation where it's more likely that something bad's going to happen to you.
Here, here. Couldn't agree more. Brian, you on board, though it is not the ideal, you on board with the practicality of that advice?
I wish better for our community, but that is sound advice for any community. So I feel like that's good enough. At least it's not like just us. Be careful around those people.
No, have fun and stay safe, or as safe as you can keep yourself. But definitely have fun. Don't keep yourself away from going to a convention and being that character you want to be because you're worried about other people. Go and enjoy yourself.
Great advice.
I personally enjoy looking at the cosplay videos, where it's the music and it's all the awesome costumes and art. And I'm just kind of curious how organized those are, or if they just range in different levels of organization, whether that guy with the camera just comes up and says, "Hey, I do the video thing. Here's my card. Can I get 5 minutes with you?" Or does he actually like have a whole, you know, network of friends? He says, "Hey, we're all going to this same convention. I'm doing my video shtick. Meet me here and we'll get it all done."
It goes both ways. Most of my experience with doing videos has been, "Hey, look at you. I like your costume. Let's shoot something real quick, and then I'll give you my card." I had that happen a couple of times this weekend. So, yeah, it mostly is just, if you're there and you've got something awesome going on and they're there, they'll usually ask you. It doesn't take more than a couple of minutes, but it's so much fun to see the product. I just got a couple of videos back from people already who are just apparently editing wizards who don't sleep ever. And it's great to see the footage, because it's so different from the photos. You're getting to see people's expressions, getting to see the costumes move. So I love the cosplay music videos. I think they're a great staple.
And I enjoy them too, especially since I don't get to go to Dragon Con this year.
Next year, man. We'll have to figure it out. Well, we've got it in now with Ashley, so she'll get us the insider track on getting some media badges, and you know we'll be there in an official capacity. We're not just trying to score passes to go as standard attendees.
Well, you guys will have to come and find me on the floor.
All right, you definitely will. So we really appreciate you being on the show, Ashley, as we move towards a conclusion. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you're doing, working on, interested in, that you would like to discuss. We usually give the floor to our guests toward the end to basically do what they want.
That's a lot of power you're handing over.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous thing. I plan to keep on cosplaying. I also do digital art. Want to keep going with that and get to do that more. The cosplaying has kind of eclipsed it at the moment, but it's coming back. I do a lot of fan art and big art projects. So if anybody wants to look me up, I'm Ashley Kaylee, and pretty much any social media, you can find me at that handle. DeviantArt, Tumblr, Facebook, pretty much anything. If you want to see what I'm up to.
Awesome. We will make a point of linking to any and all social media links for you we can find. We might even beat you up for some specifics after the show.
And all right, sounds good.
Yeah, we will happily do our best to promote you to our 18 plus million listeners.
Ooh.
You don't believe us, do you? Yeah, I just kind of pulled that out of my dreams, but, you know. Seriously, we appreciate you being on, and definitely appreciate your contribution to the cosplay community. One of the highlights for me at any convention is just seeing the expert craftsmanship that goes into these cosplays and really people's commitment to the craft. So as a fan, thank you.
Well, thank you. As a cosplayer, the best thing someone can do is come up to us, ask us questions about what we're made and how we made it, and show us a little bit of a love and appreciation for the character and the costume.
Also, guys, just remember, hover hand sometimes has its places. You know, if you, when in doubt, do the hover hand. Don't touch.
Or ask.
Right. If you're unable to communicate, hover hand. You deserve to be in the awkward hover hand shot because you haven't learned to speak to people.
You have to learn how to be human first.
Right. Is it okay if I touch you for the photo? That's all you have to say. And you can say it just like that because you will have communicated.
If you do, expect maybe a few no's.
Yeah. Maybe not in quite that stereotype voice, but. All right, Ashley, seriously, thanks for being on. If you want to come on again, let us know. We are known to let guests back on the show from time to time. So keep in touch. We look forward to your future endeavors and appreciate your attendance on this week's episode.
All right. Thank you guys for letting me be a part of this. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. That was a good show. She's a good guest. I enjoyed that very much.
Absolutely. She was amazing.
Insight into Dragon Con makes me want to go even more. The way she described it as sort of this con integrated into the fabric of the city really intrigues me. So I think we must go next year.
Yeah, it's pretty killer. We'll get our press badges. And
yeah, we're press. I can't wait to put one of those little press card things in my hat.
We need
first. You have to get the hat.
Exactly. We got to go get one of those. What are those hats called? What the fuck's the name of those hats?
I'm sure if you ask for the journalist, they'd know exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
You gotta put a press thing in it.
Well, but what are the douchey hats that the
fedora?
Wear? I don't know. Yeah. Are they fedoras? Yeah, the douchey hats with a little band around it.
Yeah, the milady caps, right. Brian, did you say party suite?
Party suite, man.
I've always wanted to do that. Like, be like the cool party suite people come to. Come to the Nerd Extravaganza party suite. Party with us.
I think I'm doing it for Mega anyway, so
we'll
call Mega practice.
Yeah. Do the party suite and let us know how, you know, get the ins and outs, and we'll end up doing that at Dragon Con. I also appreciated her views on the whole cosplay consent thing. Like, I have a tendency to react negatively to messages like that because I feel almost accused when campaigns like that come to the fore. You know, like they're talking to me like, what do you mean cosplay's not consent? I know that, but you know, Ashley made the point, they're not talking to you. They're kind of targeting the outliers. You know, that you're not the problem. As a part of the community, you're not the problem. And I think maybe that's my frustration with the community having to endure this stuff kind of coming through. I don't know.
We're males too, so it's hard to empathize, you know? It's easy to empathize. It's hard to, you know, we can't put ourselves in their shoes.
True.
Exactly.
This sounds a little sappy, but I really liked how Ashley did not exclude us from the community that's going through that. She didn't like, well, they're cosplayers. She's like, no, convention goers are going through this. Like, props, Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Big time. It's, kind of sad to hear that quote unquote mainstream people are some of the chief offenders. I really would like to know what it is in the reptilian brain that gets triggered by novelty that makes people just think, well, hands on! You know,
boobs.
That's creepy.
That's all it is, boobs.
It's what?
Some, really? Some guys, they see boobs and then it just all sense of restraint just leaves their brain.
I actually thought you were saying booze and I was on board 100% because some people just don't know how to drink.
Well, you know what? It's probably booze
combo.
And booze.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably both.
But they don't, these people never go to a beach because there's plenty of boobs on display at a beach and you don't go getting gropey with people.
There are signs like no pictures or no, I have seen those at beaches.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's way less acceptable for you to like walk up to some chick in a bikini and be like, hey, can I take a picture with you?
You
might get bounced.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, they kind of have the pretext for the creepy behavior by the close proximity and the photo, right?
That's a fabulous bikini. Did you sew it? Click. Why the fuck are you asking me that?
Guys, that might be an awesome PSA video. Like, we could pose as like creepy, you know, con attendees getting a little too handsy with the cosplay models and then like juxtapose that with like what would happen if you did that on the beach. Can I take a picture? And you get like really close and then get knocked out.
We'd probably get like a billion views on YouTube with that.
Yeah. Actually,
not us, just the hot chicks that we put in the video. But...
Well, the hot chicks are actually going to be just us. We're going to be doing
both. Oh, no. Dual role.
Oh, no.
We'll wear the hot chick mustache.
Yes.
No one wants to see me in a bikini, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I don't want to see me in a bikini. So.
All right, I'll do it.
Your body confidence is commendable, Brian.
Own it, but, Brian. Own it.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, awesome episode. I think we all agree. Another great guest. And looking forward to whomever the Intrepid Cam can reach out to next. All credit to you again, man.
I've got a lot of blackmail material that I need to sort through and see who my next victim will be to pull onto the show.
Awesome. How's that George Takei angle working? I know you got
Oh my.
Well, I'm a little compromised in some of those pictures, so I might not.
Oh, man. I won't ask. Anyway, with that said, I should probably mention that no blackmail is required to enjoy the Nerdtravaganza podcast. We offer it to you free on a weekly basis, and we encourage you to check it out in both iTunes and Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, add us to your Google Plus circle, and join the Nerdtravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
Cosplay your way on over to our website, nerdtravaganza.com, and check out this and all of our back episodes. Drag your ass on over to YouTube, type in Nerdtravaganza into the search bar, and check out all of our videos. And hopefully we can con you into sending us an email at nerdtravaganza@gmail.com.
Cam, I really appreciate the extra mile, dude. I feel like a schlub.
Colin, that was pretty good. All right, Chris, with the bar now set so high, it's up to you to take us out of here.
Oh my, Cam. Oh my.
That's good.
2 character for a second. Is someone sawing wood?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I keep hearing it too.
Kind of was hearing something there, but
it's like
it's like someone's very quietly trying to build a log cabin.
A very tiny log cabin.
Flossing my teeth as usual.
Lincoln logs or something.
Yeah.
I think I was having a technical difficulty.
Okay.
You done? You gonna build your mini log cabin later?
Sorry, guys.
Got it.